I would normally use the one that doesn't clatter and bang, but it's designed to be down a step, and it would be too high, so sorry for that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. It is a light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. I remember as a child, my biggest complaint about the world went something like this. It's not fair. It's not fair. But it wasn't just a foot-stamping tirade about not getting enough chocolate or ice cream. It was actually a deeper recognition from a 9-year-old's perspective that life doesn't play by the rules. Even at a young age, I knew that the popular kid at school isn't always the nicest kid. I almost call it Will's axiom, this one. The good guy doesn't always get the girl. Though I won in the end, right? Hard work doesn't always lead to success. Sometimes success depends more on privilege, luck, or being good at using people. This is the ways of the world. To quote one of my fictional heroes, Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise, it is possible to commit no mistakes and still lose. And that is not weakness. That is life. Life's not fair, you see. And in a less fictional universe, I read recently this. If wealth was the inevitable result of hard work and enterprise, then every woman in Africa would be a millionaire. As Jesus himself reminds us, the sun shines and the rain falls the same amount on both the righteous and the unrighteous. But oh, how we wish that was not the case. One of the deepest cries of the human heart is for justice. It's for vindication. It's the cry of the unfortunate and broken crying out for rescue and relief. And we hear this cry all the time. We just have to turn on the news. We hear this cry from those experiencing famine. We hear this cry from those who are fleeing war zones. We hear it from those who battle chronic illness. We hear it from those who are lonely and forgotten. We hear it when a whole generation realizes they're going to inherit burden more than blessing from their parents. And this unfair state of the world is never more evident when we look at those who have power and authority and influence. Not that they're all bad. It's good when we live in a civilized society shaped by principles and safeguards. But we know that in so many ways, power and authority is not necessarily restricted to those who are skilled in the ways of justice and peace. And for those in this world who do not have a voice, like 9-year-old boys, this can be a very intimidating world where other people and faceless organizations make decisions about how well I can feed my family or how well my children will be educated or whether my life will have a purpose other than lurching from week to week. This life is not fair, and it becomes a cry of the human heart, and we groan with intimidation with the fallen unfairness of this world as good people get sick and bad people succeed. And leadership is given to those who simply play the game. Now, I'm not talking like this to depress us. But we have recently begun our series on the Psalms, the songbook of God's people. And the whole point of this book is not to have words before us that we simply come to understand, but words and songs of the people into which we enter. We are meant to be caught up in these words so that the words of God become our words that we groan with and resonate with the heart of God. And we understand this. Music, on the one hand, is something to understand and study. We can look at a piece of music and we can analyze it in the technical sense of notes and harmonies and melodies. But we know that what it's like where music becomes more than just a technical exercise. It becomes more primal and emotional, a personal expression. And when we're captured by the music, we feel elation or sedation, depression or even aggression. We enter into it. And so it is with the Psalms. And so throughout this series, we see how these finely crafted pieces of poetry will gather up the depths of who we are under God. And we'll find free-soaring thanksgiving. We'll find peaceful lullabies. We'll find soothing words. We'll find anguish and hopelessness and anger and determination. And all these are not words for us to capture and seize and use. They are words that are meant to inhabit who we are, to go into the deep recesses of who we are as God's people, to change us and to move us and to express us according to the Spirit of God. And today's psalm is like that. It looks to the place of power in an unfair, broken world. And it gives us words that inhabit that predicament. And not only does it express our longing and yearning like a 9-year-old boy, but it also, like all of God's word, inhabits us, draws our roots deep down, and bursts forth with notes of hope and assurance. And so if you have your Bibles open at Psalm 2, please have them open as we take a look and see how it works. Take a look right at the beginning, at verse 1 of this psalm. We saw last week in Psalm 1, which described the blessed, fruitful life of the one who meditates on the Word of God. Here we begin words which are the exact opposite. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The song begins. Here we sing of a world where nations and peoples meditate not on the word of God, but on vanities and power-mongering. Here we sing of a world where the life-giving, fairness-making, justice-bringing ways of God are resisted by human leaders. Verse 2, the kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. Here is the picture of the powerful, the rich and the comfortable, the humanly strong and proud yelling together, I'll do it my way. And if the song ended there, that would be all that we would have. A song of little human empires, a dog-eat-dog, winner-takes-all world of untouchable kings. And we would feel something of the powerlessness and unfairness that we feel. After all, how do we combat these human ways? How do we bring peace to the Middle East? How do we give hope to a younger generation? How can a broken life be restored and renewed? It isn't fair. The powerful will have their way and everyone else will fade away. But God has an answer to that. And his voice enters this song, and the melody that he inserts is laughter. Laughter by God as humans attempt to play their games of power. Look at verse 4. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. God has an answer. It reminds me of some words from another psalm, Psalm 46. And these are words that are probably well known to you. They go like this. Be still and know that I am God. Often we take that song and sing it to ourselves like a lullaby to quieten ourselves. Be still and know that I am God. Nothing wrong with quietening our spirit, but in the context of Psalm 46, it's nothing like that. Rather, you have the powerful people of the world are likened to a table of squabbling children, and those words go something like this. Enough! Be still! Know that I am God, not you. That's the picture of God here. You're not God. I am, God is saying. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I will restore fairness. I will bring justice. I will deal with you. And here we have, in Psalm 2, we have this same image. God laughs in scorn. He rebukes the powerful and puts his own plan into place. God will raise up for himself a king of kings, a prince of peace, who will be installed on the holy mountain in Jerusalem itself, where heaven and earth meet. And the whole world will be changed through this king that God installs. And the psalm gives words for this king to sing. This isn't just a ballad that we make up to sing about some hero. Here is a part in the song for the king himself to give forth. For whoever this king is that God puts into place, he doesn't just ride in from on high, but he enters into the anguish of his people. He joins in our song and he sings these words. Verse 7, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. And of course, we know who this king is. He is the one who is installed by God. He is the one who hears from God those words, you are my son, today I've become your father. It's no wonder that years later, the writer to the letter to the Hebrews would put these words on the lips of Jesus himself. Jesus who entered into our world. Jesus who took the burdens of it upon himself. Jesus who died for its sin and rose again to receive it as an inheritance. Jesus who will come again to judge the living and the dead and to make right this unfair and intimidating world. Jesus who takes the song of this world and gives it a note of hope and invites us to join in. And so by the end of this psalm, the best way we could describe it, it's not some frivolous little ditty. It has become for us something of an anthem. And songs do many things, but anthems do more than entertain and excite. Anthems are for the victor. Anthems are for the triumph. And so for the last part of this song, there is a warning from the victorious Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Verse 10, therefore you kings, you unfair, powerful people, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Jesus is Lord, it is saying. This anthem is crying out. Jesus is Lord, so turn to him, you powerful and privileged. Turn to him and serve his loving ways. The song of God's Messiah and the song of God's people. But remember, we're not here just to understand these psalms. We're here to sing them and to have them inhabit our lives. Songs expose us. They make us weep. They draw us close. Maybe they even convict us and confront us. There are many ways in which we can be moved. Music is one of them. And here, this song exposes us as well. As we read this as a privileged people, and we are that, if we compare ourselves to the majority of the world and to the majority of history, we should be careful how we are exposed as we sing this song. Because we cannot sing this song and be complicit in the ways of an unfair world. We cannot claim the victory of this anthem and play the world's game, conspiring and plotting with vain things. If we act like the intimidating powers, valuing and devaluing people by human standards, building self-made facades, even if we use churchy words to do those things, then we might find ourselves confronted. And this song may bring us to our knees. It may once again cause us to kiss the sun and rediscover our first love. But the song may also expose our longing, our desire for hope. We might find here the song of our Messiah King calling us to join in. When Paul talks about in the letter to the Romans about how God has gifted us with the Spirit of Jesus, with the Spirit of Christ, he says that the Spirit would be someone that would groan inwardly within us, along with all of creation, as we eagerly wait for all things to be made right. And Paul calls that groaning Holy Spirit the Spirit of adoption. And here we have the same thing. You are my son, we sing here, along with Jesus as he shares his sonship with us. And then this truly becomes our anthem, not just a triumph march, but a song that catches up our identity and purpose and expresses it in the very last line. Have a look at it, that last line. Because whatever the world may do, whatever power may threaten, whatever wind and wave of lie and deceit may be around, here is the refrain, here is the song, here is the solace that we long to see and have glow in every heart. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. In this unfair world, with all its brokenness and pain, as we cry out for a solution, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen.